And thank you to our worship team. Did a wonderful job there. So this is a series based on the book by John Bevere. Again, I'm handing out some group discussion questions as well as your personal reflection questions based on the things that we'll talk about today. So Romans 12 and Romans 13. Catherine, welcome back. Good to see you. Shows Paul concluding the book of Romans with a list of practical duties that were based on the doctrines that he had discussed in the previous 11 chapters. Now, what Paul is telling us in Romans 12 and 13 is that right relationships mean right living. Paul goes on to explain, you see, is that doctrine and duty always go together. Doctrine and duty always go together, which is what we believe helps to determine how we behave. So if you don't believe well, you are going to behave poorly. So it's not really what, it's how the belief system that you have that will determine the things that you do, and of course, invariably, that will determine your results. So if we have a right relationship with God, to God, we will have a right relationship to the people who are a part of our lives. The scripture goes on to say in 1 John 4, verse 20, that if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. So that means that if we're in right relationship with God, then we're going to be in right relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters, with our spouses, with our friends, with our parents. Now, let me qualify this so that it's nice and clear. We're not talking here about honor when it comes to criminality. That's very important. That when people are, you obey the law, but when people then ask you to commit crimes or they commit, you know, there's some boundaries that you obviously have to observe in your life. So Romans 12, as Paul begins to talk to us about relationships and how our relationships should be, this is when in Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, give your bodies. So he tells us, you give your body to the Lord, you give him your mind, and then you give him your will. And so Romans 12 elaborates the following. It then begins to talk about, so it talks about our relationship to God. And in our relationship to God, we give him our body, we give him our mind, and we give him our will. Amen? Then goes on to talk about our relationship to other believers. And it's basically telling us that each believer is a living part of Christ's body. So you and I are a part of Christ's body. Therefore, we all have a function to perform. There's all a spiritual function for you and I to perform in the body of Christ. And how we do this is we do it through honest evaluation. We are going to look at our gifts and what ministry we offer to the local church, which means that if I'm having an honest evaluation of my gifts, I am not going to try and do things that I'm not gifted in, that somebody else is gifted in. So there's an honest evaluation. When I come in my relationship with other people, I evaluate, I bring an honest evaluation of my gifts. Paul goes on to tell us that as we, in our relationship with other believers, there's faithful cooperation. So I cooperate very well with everybody around me. So each believer has got a different gift because God has bestowed these gifts so that the local body can grow in a balanced way. So I'm going to exercise my gift so that the body of Christ benefits from that gift. Meaning that I also have to exercise my gift by faith. You have to exercise the gift that God has given you by faith. This is if the body, the local body, your relationship to other believers is going to work. So you got to play your part, in essence, is what I'm saying. And what underpins all of this is loving participation. The emphasis is on the attitudes of those who exercise their spiritual gifts. And this is done through love. If I don't have love, well, there's going to be a problem. If I do it because it makes me look good, it makes other people, you know, chase after me, then my motives are in the wrong place, because I'm doing it just for my own self-gratification and aggrandizement. So we do things through love, because this is why the scripture then says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if I don't have love, I'm just like a clanging cymbal. That love really underpins everything that we do. And this would be the same in families. We do things because of the love that we have for each other in our families. Romans 12 closes out on the relationship we have to our enemies. So those people that we don't necessarily like, that have done harm to us. And what Paul is asking us to not do, he's saying, we must not play God and try to avenge ourselves. Returning evil for evil is how most people live their lives. Christ is asking us that we must live on a higher level and return good for evil. This requires love, because our first inclination when somebody has done something to us is to fight back. That doesn't mean you're a weird person. That's just the natural inclination that we all have, is to retaliate. It is also going to require faith if we are going to relate well to our enemies. Because the faith that is required is that we're going to believe that God can work and accomplish his will in our lives and in the lives of those who've hurt us. And so we must give place to the wrath of God, which means we don't take matters into our own hands. We give it over all to the Lord. Deuteronomy 32 says, vengeance is mine and retribution. So that belongs to the Lord. So that means that if you've been hurt, a spouse can hurt you, a parent can hurt you, a boss can hurt you. And so the response is to then say, Lord, I really don't like that person at this moment, but I forgive them and I let go. And so now what you're asking God to do is to say, Lord, can you step in and do something so that you don't have to carry that burden? Proverbs 25 verse 21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. This is why when Jesus came and said, and he's explaining this to people that were under oppression, and he says, if somebody slaps you, give him the other cheek to slap, which doesn't really make sense. And if somebody says, let's walk a mile, walk an extra mile with them. In your own strength, you cannot forgive. This is going to require your participation with the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to come into your life and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I forgive because you ask us to forgive. Because the Lord says, if you forgive, forgive your enemies as God has forgiven you. So we need to then recognize that when we return evil for evil, we just add fuel to the fire. We don't solve any problems. And when we allow God to operate in our lives, then what we are doing is that we are growing in grace and maturity. And most importantly, we are experiencing the love of God in our hearts, because we've given it all to him to say, God, you handle your business. I'm okay with whatever it is that you do. The question for you and I is, do we want to do it God's way or our way? Yesterday, a friend of mine called me, and then the phone dropped, and so I called him back. And then I said, oh, you know, how are you going? And then he said, oh, well, you know, I'm returning your call. And I said, no, I'm returning your call. You called me. And then he begins to tell me of some business thing that he had got involved in, and the other party had done bad by him. And he says, you know what? I've just decided to do what? To let it go. And just, you know, whatever's going to happen, my attitude is that I'll just, you know, I'm just going to let it go and whatever happens, happens. Now, this friend of mine, excuse me, is not a Christian man. And so then he says, so what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just, you know, reviewing my message for tomorrow. And he says, what are you talking about? And I said, I'm actually talking about how sometimes you have to give it over to the Lord and to a higher power and not avenge yourself, because you know that God is the one that is going to avenge you. And it was so interesting that that was just his attitude. It's not like the deal went his way, but his attitude was that, you know what? It's actually easier for me if I just release this and not stress myself over it. And so I just said, hey, you know, when you do that, then you allow another higher power to fight on your behalf. So the question is, will you do it God's way or your way? Because the reality is that, you see, we don't spend a lot of time doing business with God and saying, God, help me with my attitude towards this person because of what they've done. But also to get to the point where we give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just giving you this issue. You handle it. I'm cool. I'm going to let it go. And that's hard to do, because you want vindication. You want the revenge. And that's just a natural part of who we are. But God is calling us, and the Lord Jesus is calling us to live at a higher plane. And the only way we're going to be able to do that successfully is if we do what? We trust in the Holy Spirit that's going to guide us. So now we've gone through Romans 12, which talks about our relationships with God and with others and with our enemies. Romans 13 then begins to talk about our relationship with the state. God has established three institutions. He's established the home or the family. He's established government. And of course, in Acts chapter 2, he established the church. We have to understand that when Paul was writing the book of Romans, and especially this part, he was writing to believers at the heart of the Roman Empire. Remember that these were oppressed people that he was speaking to. Christianity was considered a Jewish sect, and the Jewish religion was approved by the Romans. So in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Nick, maybe can we read that together? Just that part, verse 1 to 2. If we can all read that together. 1, 2, 3. Everyone must submit. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. They'll be punished. Anyway, so those are not my words. Those are Paul's that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so the thing, I need us to understand that he goes on to say through that passage of scripture, he says, the authorities are servants of God. He says that twice. The authorities are servants of God. They are God's servants. And then he goes on to say, when he talks about paying your taxes, he says, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. They are serving God because he's the one that has put them in place. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, he's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. So this tells me that all authority is God appointed. All authority is God appointed. Now, there is a delegated authority that God gives to man. So he's given this delegated authority to civil authorities. So remember that when the government operates, they don't just operate and do what's on their mind. They work within the confines of the constitution of the country. So that means that there are certain things that even a prime minister, with all, which is the highest, you know, in the highest authority in the country, he can't just make unilateral decisions and say, right, we're going to war. He has to actually get permission through our parliament, the Australian parliament, to be able to do that. And therefore, there's still things that they're, even the parliament itself, whilst they can make laws, they are viewed or limited within the boundaries of the constitution of the land. So, civil authorities are appointed by God and are working for him. If we honor them, that means we honor him who appointed them. Families, we don't choose which family. We just appear. And we appear, and there's this woman and there's this man that are our parents. Now, if we could choose, you know, it would be a different thing altogether. Oh, I want to choose that perfect parent, that perfect father, perfect mother. But unfortunately, we just arrive in families. And so what happens is that these people by themselves are not perfect, and they make mistakes, or they will make mistakes, but that doesn't take away the fact that honor is required to parents. Honor is required to authorities. Honor is required to bosses. Honor is required to school teachers. Honor is required to those that are in authority over us. So I wonder, how would the way we act towards authority change when we have an attitude of honor because we fear the Lord, because he appoints all authority? So because I fear the Lord, how will the way that I act towards authority change? Because remember that scripture that says, if I love God, but I hate my brother, then I'm a liar. So if I know that all authority has been appointed by God, how will my behavior and my attitude towards them change? Because the key thing in my life is that I fear God. We have authorities at work, people that are responsible over us. And please understand that these authorities, even at work, they are bound within, of course, if it's their business, they do what they want. But even then, they are bound by the constitution or the articles of association of that business or the objectives of whatever that business is. All authority is accountable to God because it was given by him. Leadership comes with great responsibility, and leaders are accountable to God. And I believe that he takes it personally when leaders lead people the wrong way. When you look through the Old Testament, where it would constantly say that this one led people to do the wrong way and to turn their back on the Lord, God was not happy with that. God was not happy with leaders who did that. So the test for us leaders, and for all leaders, because all of us here are leaders in some capacity, is to not go outside our delegated authority. Because, you know, at work, if you go outside your delegated authority, it will mean two things. Number one, you'll be performance managed, or you'll be terminated, because they've given you boundaries in which to operate in. So there's a responsibility for all of us to do what? To be accountable to leadership, but to take the responsibility that God has given us very, very seriously. God has called us to honor and to submit, but he's not called us to blind allegiance. So we are called to honor, we are called to submit, but that doesn't mean that there's blind allegiance. We just follow blindly. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made a gold-plated image whose height was 90 feet, and its width 9 feet. He set it up on the plain of Jura, and so he had big image that he created, a golden image, and then he wanted everybody to do what? To worship it. He says, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and speakers of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the instruments, you need to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And then it says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into the midst of a blazing fire. So we have submission versus obedience. Our actions versus our attitudes. Obedience is external. It's the action of doing what someone in authority asks or commands. Submission is internal. It is the attitude of the heart toward that authority. So we know that you can obey someone without submitting to them. For example, a child might clean their room because they're told to, but with a bad attitude. So they will do it, but with a bad attitude. It's just like a story we've heard, so many have heard, where a kid says, he was told to do something, sit down. And the kid, you know, obviously was refusing to sit down. And then eventually the kid sat down, and then he says, but I'm standing on the inside. You see, submission always leads to obedience unless it conflicts with God's commands. Submission is about recognizing and honoring God's delegated authority even when it's uncomfortable, and the exception is where it contradicts the word of God. Then now we have to make the choice to say, no, I will not follow the directions of that authority. It could be at work where, now, if you're an accountant at work, they might ask you to fudge the numbers. And so they'll say, look, we want you to fudge the numbers because we want to look good because of so many benefits that will come if we do that. The choice you have in that moment is either you fudge the numbers and stay, or you don't fudge the numbers and go. And then sort of like put yourself at the mercy of the Lord and see if the Lord will do it, will come and rescue you. That's the choice. So we submit, and our attitude, God wants us to have our attitude towards authority when we do things has to be right. So it's not just about, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to go clean my room. But when you go there, you're gristling and you're ticked off and, you know, and you just do things because out of compulsion. But God wants to work on our attitudes. But the proviso and the limitations is that it cannot contradict the word of God. In Daniel chapter, if I go back to that verse of scripture, it then says that there was certain Chaldeans came forward and brought accusations against the Jews. This is back in Daniel's time. And they said to the king, oh king, you live forever. You have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the instruments must fall down and worship the image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Then they said, there's a group of people who you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon. And they're not going to serve you. So, king, what are you going to do? So the king obviously got very annoyed and was ticked off. And they basically said, he called the guys and asked them, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, in our lives, there may not be necessarily a golden image, but there will be instances that will come our way where we have an opportunity to go against what the Lord has said we shouldn't go against in his word. This is why you need to understand when Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true? Which is when people have asked you to do the wrong thing. Maybe if the Holy Spirit, you know, they'll ask you, they've come to you and said, we want you to do the wrong thing. And we've got to imagine the Holy Spirit saying to us, is it true that you... And for us, we then have to make a choice in that moment, like what these boys went on to go and say. So this is what they did. Their response to the king was, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you on this point. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. Remember that they weren't saying, get stuffed, we don't care about you, we got our God, and our God is big, you're just a little God, you're a small g, our God is a big g. They still, the reverence they showed for him, the honor they still showed him, even though he was asking them to do the thing, which shows the heart attitude that these guys had. But then they go on to say, but even if he does not save us, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And we know the rest of the story is that they were thrown in, and eventually God came and rescued them. Honoring leadership. Remember last week we said that honor is given. Respect is earned. You earn the respect, but you give honor. At times in our lives, I'll get the team to come back up. At times in our lives, we're going to have to go through the fire. That's going to be a fact. There will be some choices that we need to make. And the question that I want us to remain with is this, to always understand that God always promises to be with us, but we're going to be in the fire when he's with us. Sometimes be with us in the fire. We have to resist the need for vindication and leave it to the Lord, where we try to justify ourselves and say, you know what? For whatever reason, I can disobey any authority. We resist the vindication and are still honorable to the leadership that God has placed over our lives. Now, whether it's civil leadership, whether it's a family, except where it contradicts the word of God. This applies in our marriages, our workplaces, our schools, our community, and of course our country. That in the kingdom of God, there is order. There is an order that has been set by the Lord, if we can stand this morning. There is an order that has been set by the Lord. And the thing for all of us is that, are we going to follow the order that God has set? And that we are not necessarily going to rely on our feelings and our emotions. We are going to stick to the word of God and the counsel of the word of God over our lives. And will I honor people out of honor to God? So these notes that I've provided, what's my heart attitude when I obey? Whether at home, at work. Is it a begrudging compliance or a spirit of submission to God's authority? And even at work, do I honor those in leadership even when I disagree? Do I speak respectfully and pray for them, or do I complain and gossip? And I think that what through this series, the question that God is asking of us is, are we going to, you see, there's a higher plane to be a Christian. We operate at a different plane to other people. The words of Jesus Christ when he said, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, give him the left cheek. That's the kind of plane that God wants us to be operating in. But it's actually going to take a working of our hearts and allowing him to do things in our hearts that are going to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Am I living my life to reflect Christ, or just trying to be right? I'm going to pray this morning and invite you into a prayer of repentance. Father, I just thank you this morning. So if you can pray after me. Heavenly Father, Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and I accept your forgiveness. And I choose this day to walk with you all the days of my life. Amen. And if that is you this morning that has made that choice to give your life to the Lord, I just want you to raise your hands while everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed. My second prayer before we worship and we go out singing the song is just to ask that we would ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us where we have not been honorable, and ask Him for His guidance. Ask Him for His guidance in our lives, because God is calling us to live at a different plane of operation, which is not the way the world works. But also that we're not going to be a people that just offer blind allegiance when it contradicts the counsel of God. And I'm going to pray for strength for you, that when the day comes when you are going to have to tell the authorities that no, I will not do what you've asked me to do, I will not bow to the golden image, then you have got the strength of conviction to see it through. When your friends are asking you to do the wrong thing, you'll have the strength of conviction to know that this is contrary to the counsel of God. So, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that for your people, Lord, that we are an honorable people, Father, that because we fear you, we will honor all those that you have placed in authority over us, except where it contradicts the word of God. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for all of us that you would give us strength in the day, Father, that we have to bow to the golden image, that we will not bow. We will remain resolute, that we will go through the fire. We will take comfort that you are with us there. You will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, strengthen us that, Lord, our commitment, Lord God, that we would not betray you, that our commitment to you would remain. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says, amen. Let's sing. Thank you.